John chapter 8, and we will start with verse 37, and we'll go down through verse number 42. John 8, 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Last Sunday, we made a second run at the servant versus the son contrast. That was verse 35. We closed the week prior with that, and then we opened last Sunday morning with that again. I just felt the need to re-stress and re-preach and go over that material again. The son versus the servant, verse 35. And then last week we spent some time considering the subject of Christian liberty from verse number 36. And then we concluded the sermon last Sunday morning by looking at what Jesus said was in the hearts of these Jews, murder, and what was not in the hearts of these Jews, the Word of God, verse number 37. Today we're going to pick up in verse number 38. John 8:38, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Jesus continues here to emphasize the great contrast between these people that are gathered before him and himself. In the last seven verses, we have seen these contrast. We have seen in the last seven verses bondage versus freedom. We have seen servant versus son. We have seen murder in the heart versus the Word of God in the heart. We have seen the seed of Abraham versus the children of God. We have seen, and we'll see again today several times, the contrast of your father versus my father. And so what Jesus is doing in these next several verses is he is going to expose their real parentage. He is going to expose who their real father is. Jesus is saying here in verse number 38, he is saying this, my doctrine, the doctrine that I teach, the doctrine that I preach, tells you who my Father is. And your actions and your deeds tell everyone who your Father is. Now I want to move ahead of ourselves a little bit. And I want to read one more time, verses 39 to 45, so we can refresh our minds as to this conversation as a whole, all right? Let's read 39 down through 45. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And so what Christ is doing in this passage is he is exposing their real parentage. He is exposing that they are not, absolutely not, children of God. They do not resemble the children of Abraham. But what they are is children of the devil. They first, in verse 39 here, try to convince Jesus that Abraham is their father. They next try to convince Jesus that God is their father. And Christ's response to them boils down to this. With that anger in your heart, with that hatred in your heart, with that murder in your heart, you cannot claim Abraham as your father, and you most definitely, most certainly cannot claim God as your father. All right? And so, you know, they hate him. They are angry at him without a cause. They want to kill him. They want to destroy him. And yet they say, well, we're Abraham's seed. And he's like, no, I don't think so. I mean, you're trying to kill an innocent man. You've got hatred and murder in your heart for an innocent man. You're nothing like Abraham. And you're most certainly not the children of God because of what's in your heart. Remember what I said last Sunday? Something to the effect of this. They may have had the physical DNA of Abraham. All right. They may have been able to trace their very lineage, their very family tree back to Abraham. Certainly they probably could have done that. But they do not have Abraham's spiritual DNA. They're nothing like Abraham. And likewise, we'll deal with this at the end of the message. God may be their creator. And he is, okay? He is their creator. But God is most certainly not their father. You see, Abraham had a heart for God. Abraham had a love for God. Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Obeyed the commandments of God, the decrees of God, the laws of God. Abraham followed God. Abraham was a righteous man. Abraham was a decent man. Abraham was a follower of the commands of God. The Jewish people here, and their leaders in particular, did not have a true heart for God. They did not have a genuine love for God. And rather than obeying the commandments of God, and obeying the laws of God as they were written down, they embrace their own souped-up version of the law. And as we have dealt with probably last year sometime, their souped-up version of the law many times did not even come close to resembling what God had said. And so they do not love God. They do not honor God. They do not walk with God. They do not keep the commandments of God. And the commandments that they do keep by the hundreds, or at least the commandments they impose upon men by the hundreds, most of the time do not even resemble the original law of God. We've dealt with this. We dealt with this last year. And so for them to claim, oh, we are Abraham's seed, that's ridiculous. You're nothing like Abraham. You don't have the love for God that he had. You don't have the honor for God that he had. You don't walk like Abraham walked after God. You don't keep the commandments of God. You're nothing like Abraham. And yet you're running around touting that you're the seed of Abraham. There are many, many, many people today who claim to be Christian. And yet their continuous actions and their constant lifestyle is absolutely nothing like Jesus Christ. All right, now I stress on purpose continuous actions and constant lifestyle, because it goes back a couple of weeks to that sermon on he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. A believer sin, but it is not something that is continuous and constant in their life. An unbeliever sins continuously and constantly, all right? That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Many other differences concerning sin between the two. But there are many, many, many people today who claim to be a Christian, and yet their continuous actions and their constant lifestyle is nothing like that of Jesus Christ. The point I'm making is, they say, we're the seed of Abraham, and the truth is they're nothing like Abraham. And so they should probably stop claiming Abraham as their forefather, as their spiritual father. And in the same way, there are many people who claim to be Christian, and yet they do not resemble a Christian at all. So if you have continuous actions and constant lifestyles that's the opposite of Jesus Christ, how can you say that you're a Christian? There are many, many, many people who claim that God is their Father. And yet their continuous actions and their constant lifestyle is directly opposed to the laws and commandments of God. So then how can you claim God is your Father? How can you daily, continuously, constantly break the commandments of God with no remorse, with no regard, with no thought? You constantly break the commandments of God. How can you stand there and say that you are a child of God? Your life does not resemble Jesus Christ at all, so how can you say you love Jesus Christ? How can you say you're a Christian? You know, likewise, I would challenge any preacher who will watch this later, or maybe even is watching this morning. I challenge those preachers who even claim that I am their enemy. You say you're a Baptist. You claim to have the spiritual DNA of notable Baptists in centuries past. But you cannot stop quoting men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And yet you're nothing like them. You're nothing like those men of the past. You're nothing like the men that you love to quote. Your churches are nothing like theirs. Your doctrine and philosophy of ministry is absolutely nothing like theirs. Many preachers have admitted that they would not have these notable men in their pulpits if they were alive today. Preachers cannot go a service without quoting C.H. Spurgeon. And yet they have admitted under pressure they would never have that man in their pulpit today. Well, I guarantee you they would never have you near their pulpits either. So the question is, why do you claim old-time religion? How do you claim to be old paths? How can you claim Baptist heritage at all? You're nothing like them. You teach nothing like them. You believe nothing like them. Then why do you claim to be like them? And I say to those preachers that may be watching, why don't you just stick to quoting Charles Grandison Finney, whose doctrine and ministry your church actually does mimic? These Jews were nothing like Abraham. And you may say you're a Christian and you're nothing like Christ. And you may say you love God, but you despise His commandments. And you may say you are a Baptist, but you don't resemble it at all. Now in verse number 41, we see their frustration is starting to get the best of them. Ethan knows what frustration is, don't you, Ethan? Poppy was trying to seatbelt you in yesterday. I almost just kept them at the house. We'll just keep you here. It's easier than seatbelting you in. And I told Ethan, I said, Poppy's getting awfully frustrated here. We finally got it in, though. Their frustration is starting to build in verse number 41. I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, they're beginning to understand. Maybe, just maybe, they're beginning to understand that Jesus is charging them with being spiritual bastards. Oh yeah, I said that. Because the Scripture does. Hebrews 12:8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You see, in John 8:41, here's what they said. First of all, Jesus says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, now here's where their frustration starts to build. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now it's somewhat difficult to know exactly what they mean when they say this, but we have some ideas. What do they say when they say, we be not born of fornication? Did they suspect that Jesus was making a reference, as I said 2 weeks in a row, did they suspect that Jesus was indeed making a reference to Ishmael and Isaac? And were they indicating that Ishmael was born out of fornication? In other words, were they here trying to make an argument that they were in no way like Ishmael, but they were like Isaac, the true son? Is that what they mean? We be not be born of fornication. Is that what they're trying to say? I mean, I know what they say. They say, we be not born of fornication. But what are they thinking? Maybe they're, and there are many that believe this, and it's very feasible, it's very possible. Someone has insisted that the word we is emphatic. We be not born of fornication. Are they making a sneering comment about the conception and birth of Jesus Christ? Are they making an underhanded comment about Mary not being married to Joseph when Jesus was conceived and born? You have to know this stuff gets around. You have to know that when the fame of Jesus began to rise, you have to know that his mother's dubious situation had to make its way fast through the crowds. Oh, his mother wasn't even married. He's an illegitimate son. He's a bastard. He was born out of fornication. Because listen, you know that almost everyone thought that. Almost everyone thought that. You know, Joseph at first thought that. He thought that Mary had been unfaithful to him. And it took him some time in prayer before the Lord confirmed that which Mary is carrying is my son, conceived of by the Holy Ghost. So you know this news is making its way around, that Mary had a son out of fornication. Is that what they're indicating? We be not born of fornication? Or did they indeed perceive that Jesus was calling them spiritual bastards? And their comeback is to say, we're not the ones born out of wedlock. You, on the other hand, we've heard the rumors about you. which will go along with the fact that they did not understand, they did not know, they did not grasp the origin of Jesus Christ. They were not aware, nor did they believe, the supernatural events surrounding the Savior's conception. They did not know, nor would they have believed, the supernatural events concerning and surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that it? What is it? Or do they understand that Jesus is speaking of spiritual matters and He is speaking on a spiritual plane? Maybe they are here claiming that they are not a nation of idolaters. They are not unfaithful to the one true God. I don't know what they're thinking. It's hard for us to tell what they're thinking when they say we be born of fornication. I don't know what's going on in their mind. They may be taking a swipe at Jesus' birth. They may be trying to say we're not an idolatrous, adulterous nation. We serve the true God. They may be saying we are not the sons of Ishmael, we're the sons of Isaac. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're trying to say. But regardless of what they're trying to express, they're certainly in vehement disagreement with Jesus. In the negative, they emphatically say that they're not illegitimate. They are not spiritual bastards. They are absolutely not born out of fornication. In the positive, they emphatically say that they are the children of God. And so I don't know exactly what's going on in their mind and heart. I can only surmise, I can only guess. But I do know one thing. I do know that they are in vehement disagreement with Jesus Christ. Now I think we should take a few minutes here and debunk a falsehood that is linked with universalism. And we've talked about universalism several times. And that is the falsehood of the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. And it's akin to universalism. The idea is that all men are God's children. Because they say here, where am I at? Let me find my place here. Well, where do they say God is our Father? I seem to have dropped off my page here. Where they say God is our Father. 41. Okay, ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. We have one Father, even God. There's this idea, and you may have heard of it, but it's the idea that all men are the children of God. It's called the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. The universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. That all men are God's children. That God is the Father, that God is the Father of all men. That all men are brothers and sisters with one Father. And of course, I said a moment ago, it sounds a lot like universalism. Everyone is a Christian and everyone goes to heaven. But we can easily see the words of Jesus here before where he makes the distinction between his father and their father. They say we have one Father, even God, and yet we see that Jesus is making the distinction that they don't have God as their Father. And so for those who believe and preach and teach and perpetuate this idea that of the universal Godhead or the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man, you need to examine this portion of Scripture where Jesus makes a clear distinction. My Father is not yours. Verse 38, he says, my Father. And he contrasted to your father. Verse 41, your father versus the one father, even God. Verse 42, if God were your father. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. Not only does Jesus make a very clear distinction here of your father, my father, but Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, in Galatians 3:26 says this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Are you following me here? I know I've stumbled along here the last 3 or 4 minutes, but I want you to follow me. The universal fatherhood of God. God is everyone's father. The universal brotherhood of man. We're all brothers. We're all spiritual brothers. And yet Jesus takes the time to make the distinctions. Your father is not mine. That right there eliminates the universal fatherhood of God. Your father is not my father. Paul says we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. We are all God's creatures by creation. All right, everyone in here is a creature of God. God created you. You are part of His creation. All right, all of us are. And we are all God's children only by faith in Jesus Christ. And so in this room here this morning, we can say one thing. All of us, every person in this room is a creature of God. God has created every one of us in this room. Now we narrow it down a little bit. We still use the word all, but we narrow it down a little bit. We're all children of God. All who have put their faith in Christ Jesus are children of God. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ by faith, then you're not part of the all found in Galatians 6:26. It's that simple. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not part of that all. So we're all creatures by creation. You see, people say this. They say, well, we're all God's children because He made us. Listen, words mean something. Words mean something. We're not all God's children because He created us. We're all God's creatures because He created us. We're all God's creation because He created us. But we are all His children by faith only. That right there debunks the universal fatherhood of God. God is not everyone's father. Only those that have put their faith in Him. What about the universal brotherhood of man? Well, that kind of falls with the universal fatherhood of God. We're all brothers only in the fact that we are all descendants of the three brothers of Noah. We're all brothers only in the fact that we all of us in this room, descended from the three brothers of Noah. That's how we're brothers. Genesis 9, 18 and 19 tells us that. You wonder why I didn't go back to Adam, aren't you? Why I didn't go back to Eve. Genesis 9, 18 and 19 says that the three sons of Noah went out and replenished the earth. So we're all brothers in that sense, that we all come from one of those three boys and their wives. Universal brotherhood is only true in that we're all part of the human race. Now the word brotherhood is actually found one time in our Bible. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Who is this brotherhood that we're to love? Well, it's obviously different than honor all men. Okay? It's obviously a different group than all men. The Greek word that was first penned down for this word brotherhood as adelphates, and it's used twice in our New Testament. The Greek word is used twice in our New Testament. Here they translated it brotherhood. And in 1 Peter 5:9, It's translated brethren. Let's go ahead and read that. 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. That's the same Greek word. That's the same Greek word as 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. So the brotherhood, we see brotherhood one time in the scriptures. And 1 Peter 5:9 helps define that as those who are in the faith. Alright, those who are in the faith. Now I know that we have brotherhoods down here. You know, you got biker brothers and you got police brothers, a brotherhood of police, and we got many different brotherhoods down here. But the only real brotherhood, the only genuine brotherhood, is that of believers in the faith. You know, Satan has tried many tactics to distract people from seeing and understanding their need of a Savior. He has tried many tactics to distract people from seeing their need of a Savior. And the one that he has used many times over and over and over again is to convince people that everyone is going to heaven. And he has used that over and over and over and over and over again. Everyone's going to heaven. God is everyone's Father. We are all brothers. In the end, love wins. Everyone is saved. Everyone will go to heaven. And that, my friends, is a lie cooked up in hell's kitchen and served up daily by Satan to millions of souls. God is not our Father, all of us, and we are all not true brothers. God is only our Father through faith in Christ Jesus. And we are only true brothers through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what this whole thing's about. My Father is not the same as yours. You've got a different Father. In conclusion, verse number 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. This is yet another plain denial by Christ that God is their Father. If God was truly their Father, they would love Jesus. A lot of people in the world today claim God and reject Jesus Christ. A lot of people, millions upon millions of people, claim God as their own and reject Jesus Christ. Millions. You cannot claim God and reject Jesus. You cannot do it. If God was truly their Father, they would love Jesus Christ. The one that God sent. They would love Jesus, the very Son, the beloved Son, the only begotten Son of God. They would love Him. Jesus said, if God was your Father, you would love me. You would accept me. You would believe me. You would truly follow me. But you hate me and you want to murder me. God is not your Father. He's my Father, but He's not yours. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. You love God, you love Jesus. It's that simple. But they did not love Christ. They did not believe him. They did not trust him. Though he was the very image of the invisible God. Though he was the very brightness of his glory. Though he was the very express image of his person. They despised Jesus Christ. and they rejected him. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was the very image of the invisible God. You've seen me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. Jesus was the very brightness of his glory, the glory of God. Jesus Christ, the express image of the person of God. And yet they rejected Jesus Christ and despised him. Listen, they are bond slaves to sin. Christ's word had no place in them. They sought to kill him. Their boast of being the children of God was an empty boast. Their claims of being children of God were unfounded. There was absolutely no evidence that they were children of God. As a matter of fact, there was little to no evidence that they were children of Abraham. And I ask you this morning, as we close, is your claim of being a Christian and loving God, is your claim of being a Christian and loving Jesus Christ, is it an empty claim? Is it unfounded? Could we examine your life and find evidence that you indeed love Jesus Christ? That's the closing question. I mean, because the whole sermon is my father versus your father. What is your true parentage? Are you a genuine child of God? Or are you a bastard son? Not real, not genuine. Fake. A fraud. And the closing question is this. Your claim of being a Christian. Your claim of loving God. Can we find evidence in your life that you indeed do love Jesus Christ? You've probably heard this many times. If they drug you into court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to lock you up? If they drug you into court for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to lock you up? Or would they say, would the court find, we find no evidence that this person